As Carrie said, I work for the regional level of the church on what's called leadership. And leadership is a program, a project of our region, Pacific Mountain, which is BC and the Yukon, and the next region over, Chinook Winds region, which is South and Central Alberta. So I get to travel to Alberta and be with congregations and leaders there as well. And at leadership, we are working to support and encourage and equip church leaders, both ministry personnel and lay leaders. And so we put on courses and workshops, retreats and conferences, some in person and some online, to help our leaders grow and deepen in all the challenges that congregational ministry has for us in this time and place. And Bruce invited me to share with you a bit about the work of leadership, and I wondered how to do that in a sermon, but also still respect and take part in this beautiful worship series that you're in the middle of, Purveyors of Awe. And almost immediately I realized that one of the elements of awe, the practice of curiosity, is also one of the most important elements of good leadership, whether inside the church or anywhere else in our life. And this is the practice that Moses shows us in our reading from Exodus today. Moses, you may remember, was that Hebrew baby miraculously saved from the drowning death that Pharaoh had decreed for every newborn Hebrew baby boy. The baby whose mother set him afloat on the river in a woven basket sealed with pitch. Moses was that baby who was found by Pharaoh's own daughter and raised in the royal palace. Moses was the one who killed an Egyptian slave overseer when he saw him abusing one of his kinsmen, an enslaved Hebrew. And Moses is the one who fled the country, leaving behind his adopted home and family and all that was familiar. He settled in Midian and married the local priest's daughter. And Moses is the one called by God to return to Egypt, confront Pharaoh, and lead God's people from slavery into freedom. And it happens because Moses is willing to indulge his sense of curiosity. Tending the sheep, he sees a bush burning and says, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." Now, Moses could have noticed the burning bush out of the corner of his eye and ignored it because he was too busy or distracted, because a sheep was straying off, or because it might be getting dark soon, or because he was hungry. And certainly, we today know what it's like to be distracted. So distracted that we can miss out on amazing, incredible happenings in our life. I know I get distracted by email and texts and appointments, by the internet as a whole, which can suck my energy for what I think will be minutes but turns into hours, the demands of work or family, grandchildren. It's hard to be curious about what's going on around you or within you when you're busy and distracted, on the outside, but also on the inside. Or Moses could have decided that what he was seeing wasn't really possible, that a bush couldn't really burn without being burned up. So he must have been mistaken or confused or had low blood sugar. He could have decided what was happening and made a judgment about it without investigating to see what it really was. And we also make assumptions all the time about the people we meet or the situations we encounter, which again shuts down our curiosity. And this was also a fire. Moses could well have felt anxious or wary or even afraid of this strange sight. This was something completely out of his experience, and it could even have been dangerous. And we too can often feel anxiety and discomfort with things that are unfamiliar. We can decide ahead of time that something that is very different from our understanding or our expectation or our experience is something to be afraid of and avoided. But Moses does not respond in any of these ways. He's not distracted by busyness, and he doesn't make assumptions about what he's seen without investigating. And he doesn't feel fearful or threatened by the strange thing he sees. Instead, Moses responds with wonder. He practices curiosity. I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. It is in his practice of curiosity that Moses encounters the God of his ancestors. And it is through his curiosity that Moses receives a call that will change his life and the destiny of the Hebrew people, and is set on a new path in life. I wonder how we would live if we imagined that at any moment God might be around the next corner, waiting to be encountered. What would change in you, in me, if I lived fully expecting in every moment that God might just appear, and being curious and open to every encounter on the off chance that it might be the divine? Well, I suppose it would ground me in the right sense of perspective about who I am and whom I'm not. I am a creature, not the creator. If I were constantly open and curious about the ways God might be meeting me, I would keep remembering that I'm not ultimately in control. And hopefully I'd be led to a deeper humility. I might be open to being surprised by how the person or the situation or the creature or the sight I'm seeing might be revealing something of God to me. God's tenderness or compassion, God's mystery or beauty, God's challenge to stand up for injustice. And I think if I were curious and open more often, I would be reminded that I am part of something bigger, and older, wiser, and more mysterious, and more beautiful than anything I could do or be on my own, which I think is one definition of the word awe. And I would be more curious about everything and everyone around me because they might be a manifestation of the holy. Of course, practicing curiosity is a lot easier in some times and places than it is in others. It's very easy, I think, to be curious and wonder out in nature, to wonder in tide pools, or to look at ferns unfolding in the rainforest, or to wonder at thunder and lightning storms, to be curious about just how far away those stars are that we see in the night sky. It can be a lot harder, I think, to practice this kind of curiosity in the grocery store, or at the gym, or on the picket line, or at the office. But I think that curiosity can be as simple as looking twice at people and things we might just as easily ignore, including our very own self. For example, do you ever find that you're humming a particular worship song or hymn in your mind over and over again? And sometimes, rather than being annoyed at the earworm and trying to replace it, I stop and try to be curious about it. Is there something in the lyrics of "Nearer My God to Thee," which I've been singing over and over again these days, a clue to the way I'm feeling deep down inside? Is it giving expression to something that I need in that moment? Or it could be when I'm feeling most harried and frantic, rushing around the grocery store in time to get home to make dinner. Sometimes I'll come around a corner and see something that makes me smile. A toddler in a grocery cart making faces at me. Or, especially as we come into the fall, university students clearly buying all the staples for their first kitchen, for their first time living on their own. Do we really need flour? We definitely need sugar. Will we make eggs? Maybe we should just get a baking mix instead. And I make myself slow down and really become curious around the people around me and wonder about their lives and their challenges and their triumphs, their loves and their hopes and sorrows and dreams. Or when I'm driving and pull up to the stop sign or the red light and see a person begging at the side of the road or in the median as I'm waiting for the traffic to start. And I could feel guilty, and sometimes I do, and I feel privileged for sure. And I sometimes remind myself to be curious and to just wonder without judgment about what kinds of traumas, what kinds of life experiences brought that person to that place. And practicing curiosity makes me more compassionate and to see others with the eyes of God. One of the things I've learned about my clergy colleagues since I've been doing this leadership work for about 2.5 years is how important the practice of curiosity is, not just for a life of spiritual depth, but also for the work of spiritual leadership. Because the more closed off we are to curiosity, the farther we get from God and living God's way. When we think we already know the answer to a problem or the response we should have for any issue, when we make assumptions about one another and what people's responses mean, oh, they're always like that. When we're no longer curious about one another, then we have stopped being open to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's why the phrase, "I wonder," is such a powerful and effective approach to life together in communities of faith. I wonder why we do things this way. I wonder why that hymn or scripture passage or image of God resonates so strongly with you. I wonder how God has healed you of some of your brokenness. I wonder what God is up to right now in our community of faith or in our neighborhood or in your life or in mine. Curiosity opens us to awe because it reminds us that we don't always know and can't always assume. It opens us up to the mystery that God is at work inside us and through us and in our communities of faith. And so I would say helping church leaders practice curiosity is one of the most important aspects of my work in leadership. Whether it's through a conference on incorporating all the arts and senses in worship, or a workshop on managing conflict, I wonder why, when I'm met with this response is triggered in me. Whether it's an event hosted by Squamish elders at Camp Furcum, or a retreat for ministry personnel to rediscover and reconnect their sense of God's call. Maybe it's an online course on leading in times of transition, or a day-long workshop for lay leaders who want to be wiser and more faithful board or council members. In all these ways and more, the work leadership is doing is encouraging, equipping, and supporting the practice of deep and faithful curiosity. curiosity about what we're most called to as communities of faith, curiosity about what is most challenging and what is most life-giving, and curiosity about how we can find ways to support each other, ministry personnel and lay leaders alike. And curiosity about our own vulnerability and weaknesses and the invitation to care for it rather than being threatened by it or defensive of it. Because, of course, the practice of curiosity isn't just important for spiritual leaders. It's essential for all of us who are yearning for a life of depth, of meaning, and of purpose. Curiosity is what led Moses to his life's calling, after all. And so I wonder, how has curiosity led you to your deepest purposes in life? Whether that be a job or a passion, a life partnership or parenthood. However you are called to curiosity, may it lead you and me always into a deep awareness of and profound awe at God's presence, God's mystery, and God's love. May it be so. Amen.